During most summers, Brown's Clearwater West Lodge north of Atikokan is busy with anglers, boaters, and vacationers. The resort is an oasis for many people who want to escape the hustle and bustle of modern life. But this summer, a part of the resort is going to be used in an entirely different way. It will become a temporary home for some refugees of the war in Ukraine. Aniela Jane Hannaford is the co-owner of Brown's, and she joins me on the line to tell us more. Good morning, Aniela.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me.
So when did you start thinking about using part of your resort to house refugees from Ukraine?
The moment the first shell started to hit, my father-in-law and I happened to be at camp. My husband was in town with the kids, and we were watching the news. And we just got talking immediately about how there's going to be a humanitarian crisis, and it's going to hit the world very quickly, and nobody's going to be set up. And we got talking about the implications of all of the shelling and the evacuees and the logistics of trying to help in that type of situation. And from those types of conversations, just in our living room, we got throwing around the idea of, well, you know what, we have this M&R staff house facility at our camp, and wouldn't it be great if we could use it and fill it as long as it needs to be filled, welcome displaced Ukrainians, give them a softer place to land, and then allow them time to decompress, let the children have time to be children and process some of the types of things that they've just gone through. And at the same time, it'll allow the parents time to research and intentionally choose the community in Canada that they want to arrive in and settle in.
Now, I would imagine that this whole process is rather rigorous, bringing in refugees and housing them at your camp. Can you let our listeners know where you are in that process?
Well, we are welcoming our first family next Wednesday. I am driving to Winnipeg to pick a family of four up. It ramped up very quickly. I got in touch with a Ukrainian-Canadian down in Toronto, and he had a family that he was trying to evacuate from a refugee camp, a mother and a son. Dad had to stay back and fight in the conflict, so they are just the two of them for now. At some point, they're hoping to bring her mother over. She will be arriving just after Easter. This first family, we got in contact over Facebook, actually, and we've done a number of video chats. We've done a number of emailing back and forth. They've sent me a number of resumes and other official documents, and they've forwarded me passport information and proof of visa and all of that type of thing. So it's a bit of a whirlwind because there's no government support from our feds. We're all learning as we go. I'm hoping that after we bring our first couple of families, we'll have a better understanding of the whole process, and it'll go much easier for the other families that we want to be able to bring over.
No. Can you help unpack that process for us, for our listeners a little bit? Like, how has the process been like contacting these families? Is it more complicated than anticipated?
There are times that it's more complicated, and then there are times that it's very easy. So we're using, just plain old Facebook Messenger to get in touch. And that's how we're communicating on a phone call and on video chats and through messaging back and forth every day. To get the information that they need to be able to come over to Canada has been quite a process for them. They're currently, the first family that's arriving, they're currently staying in Austria. They're about 2 hours away from Vienna. and they've had to make arrangements with the airport and other agencies in Vienna. So they've been having to travel back and forth on the train system there. So that's been a challenge. And then it's, of course, a waiting game. So we originally thought that they would be able to fly today, actually, but that wasn't the case because they found out they had to do a little bit more of a process to deregister from the country. They have to meet with the government housing officials where they're staying, gather remaining documents, and leave the country essentially immediately after they do that. So because of the administrative work in the deregistration process, it's been difficult to navigate, and for them to be able to explain to us here in Canada where they're at when they don't entirely understand the process because it's all new to everybody, there's challenges throughout. But we're thankful and we're happy that we've made it through that process. We've been able to devise a plan to get them over here for Wednesday. They deregister from the country and from their housing units on Monday. They will go through to the airport and they will take their COVID test because they have one child that will need a COVID test. So they've decided to all get a COVID test. They will await the test results. They will board the plane. They will fly to Montreal, then to Toronto, then to Winnipeg, and I will pick them up.
Now, I think it's abundantly clear how passionate you are about this whole process and all the work that you're doing. Can you let our listeners know where this passion comes from?
I had family, I'm of Polish descent, and I had family in Poland during the invasion back in the 40s. So I feel as though it is my duty to help, because if my family did not get the help that they needed to leave Poland at that time, I would not be in this position. I would not have all of the experiences that I've had. I wouldn't have my beautiful family here with me. I wouldn't be in this beautiful part of the world. I wouldn't be here. So if I don't pay it forward, as a human being, then I'm not comfortable with that type of thing in myself. So that's where it comes from. It comes from my past family's history needing to leave Poland for a very similar reason, and they had help. So it's my turn to help somebody else.
Aniela, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
That was Aniela Jane Hannaford speaking there with the CBC's Sean Vanderklis. Aniela is the co-owner of Brown's Clearwater West Lodge near Atikokan. And just a quick note, they are accepting donations to help with these arriving families through the Atikokan Community Fellowship Church. And if people want more information on how they can help, they can contact Aniela at the Brown's Clearwater West Lodge.